Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, praise team. If you'd grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew 25. Good to see Stephen down from the frozen north. Good to see every one of you. Glad you're here. Don't know where you hid the rest of the people, but we'll figure it out. I want to thank those of you who sent cards of condolence and such this time with what's been going on. Yesterday we were in Cook County doing a funeral, and no, not Cook County, Illinois, it's Cook County, Texas. And my brother was laid to rest, which was not a new position for him. He's been there for 50 years. The hard part was cleaning up the mess that was left. And that'll take some time, so we've got a crew of people taking care of that. They start tomorrow, and large dumpsters and lots of people with strong backs and weak minds, it'll be done in no time. But I bailed. I put up with it for a couple of days, and finally I told everybody, get out, leave, go away, locked it up and sold it as is, where it is, and said, I'm through housing family members. And then I remembered, no, I'm not. But the last couple of weeks have been very busy. A lot of business to transact, a lot of driving back and forth between Denton and here. And now I can settle into just the normal overworked routine. I do have to make one more trip back to Denton to do the closing of the contract, but God bless us, and I sold the house in one day. Amen. And I was not looking forward to a long wait or a long sale period, so that was a blessing in itself. As I was preparing for the funeral, my heart was extremely heavy because you would like to stand up and tell the truth, but you know you can't, so you talk about other things. Because I had a brother who could play the guitar, the keyboard, write songs, sing, a tremendous talent. Grew up in the same house I did and never held a job for more than a couple of months. And when he passed from this world, he had some junk and $410.98 to show for 55 years of life. I want to encourage you, don't waste your life. Don't waste your opportunities. And I want to tell you that potential is not enough. Because potential says you have the ability. Success says you applied the potential you had. What are you building? First of all, that'll give you a spiritual record. What are you building that'll give you a accomplishment record? I stood at a funeral a number of years ago. A woman called me and said, you're my husband's only friend. And I went, I never knew we were that close. I was just nice to the guy. She said, you were his only friend. And he died last night. And if you don't come, there won't be anyone at his funeral. And I thought, what a story to live 63 years, pass from life, and absolutely no one to come to the funeral. A pastor a number of years ago was doing a funeral. And after the funeral, he went and did a class at a local high school. And he asked the students, when the last words are said about you, will you have a testimony or a regret? When people stand up to talk about you, will they testify of the lives you touched, the people that you encouraged, the blessing that you were, the things you achieved in life, or will they go, they had a lot of potential, it was just never realized? Every person born on the face of the earth has potential for something. There's not a person ever been born that didn't have a potential for something. I watched as a Down syndrome young man would go out every day and pick flowers and stand on the corner and pass them out to people with a smile. Some people didn't want to take the flower because they were turned off by his appearance. But that didn't deter him because he had the potential to bring joy to people's lives. And there was just something in him that every day he went out and picked wildflowers, stood on the corner, and passed them out. Well, Pastor, what is that? There's been a few days I'd like to have had a smile and a flower. Might have stopped me from killing someone. But in Matthew 25, we have a story of accomplishment and of failure. Everyone who's been in church any length of time is familiar with the story. And too often, it's referred to in the realm of talents. Maybe all of us can't sing like Brother Damon. Maybe all of us can't play like Brother Richard. Maybe all of us can't articulate the announcements and the preliminaries like Brother Ken. Maybe some of us have not yet yielded our spirit to where, like Brother James and Sister Gail, we can allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. But we have potential someplace in our life to leave a mark on the life of others. Everyone can smile. Everyone can share. But Pastor, I don't have a great testimony of what God has done. If you're in this building, God has done something in your life. And someone needs to hear your testimony of what God has done in your life, because it will encourage them. We began House of the Lord December the 10th, 1978, as a Sunday afternoon Bible study. And we would meet together on Sunday afternoon, and we would go through the book Christ the Healer. Only a few people like Marilyn and a couple others will remember that, but we started out using the book Christ the Healer and teaching faith, that he is the healer of your mind, of your spirit, of your body, of your finances. He will heal your past. He will heal your future. He'll heal your present. By July of 1979, we had grown to a body. We had formed a church board. And on July the 19th, 1979, we incorporated at the Wheelis Lane Missionary Baptist Church that we were leasing at that time. I still look back to our meager beginning and remember the Wheelis Lane Missionary Baptist Church was a church that was shut down. They were no longer having more than just they would meet and sing and talk on Sunday morning, and that was the extent of their worship. So we got their building on Sunday afternoon. And the reason they no longer had a congregation, the church was split over whether they could allow blacks to go to their church or not. And when we gathered together the first Sunday with 35 white people, I said, we're going to begin, and here's what God told me to do. Teach his people faith. And I said, I want you to look around, and I want you to begin to make room, because we will grow. And the Lord said to me that when we started the church, the day would come that we would be 50% black. We got there without ever inviting anyone because of their age, station in life, color, anything else. But God wants a family that's like your Easter basket, all colors, but all in the same basket. I don't see people going out at Easter time and I've got a basket for the red ones, a basket for the green ones, a basket. No. We belong together. Amen. Can you say together? Because we all came out of one set of parents. And as diverse as we are, it's simply our bodies reacting to the conditions of where we were. The first man and the first woman were black. Now, I know that drives some white people crazy that are small-minded, but science and medicine tell you that white people cannot give birth to a black gene, but black people can give birth to a white gene. So from the beginning, we began slightly darker than some of us have obtained. And some of those of us whose family came from Northern Ireland, we're a little pinker than others, but I don't mind being a minority of pink people. I've been pink all my life. I dreamed of being strong white, but it just never got there. I entered this world pink, and I'll leave this world pink, and I just never quite achieved panther status, but I'm just a pink old dude. But God's family is diverse. Not just in colors, but in abilities, in understanding, in grace, in fortitude, in resolve. And as he dealt with me about this story, he said, I want you to notice the three individuals that I gave 1-5, 1-2, and 1-1. The talents I gave them was not guitar picking or violin playing or the ability to hit high C over middle E. The talents I gave them was wealth. Because the hardest management for any person is wealth. Whether they have it or not. I've heard people accuse rich people. I heard it just recently, someone say, well, rich people can't go to heaven. And I said, to hell with you and your theology. That's where it belongs. It doesn't say a rich man can't get into heaven. Well, you know the story about the gate. Yes, I do. What it says is, on the eastern wall, there's a gate. And it's called the Eye of the Needle. And for protection in Israel, if you were a nighttime traveler, ring-a-ding-ding, if you were a nighttime traveler, they wanted to make sure you weren't smuggling in something you shouldn't, armaments, explosives, people. And that gate was shaped to where a camel would have to be unloaded and the camel pass through the gate and then be reloaded. Now, if you understand that story, what he was saying was a rich man who trusts in riches can't unload it. He can't stand to be separated from what he's carrying. You want to see greed? Watch a bunch of relatives when someone dies picking through their stuff. Dear Lord, I had to take people's keys away and run them off. Get out and don't come back. But there might be something valuable. If it is, it'll be in the dump and you can look through it there. I'm having the house gutted and stay away. But I want you to understand, it's not your wealth that's the problem. It's the ability to not cling to it. So what that story says is, a rich man who trusts in riches, he won't let you unload him, not for a moment, because he is naked and he has put his value in what he owns. The value is not in what you own, whether it's 5, 2, or 1. The value is in what you do with it. What are you doing with your God-given gift of salvation? What are you doing with your intellect, with your skills, with your talent? And I want to say something. And if I hurt your feelings, tough. If you're not willing to work with what you got, where you got, you ain't worth the trouble. I was working when Lou and I were young married in the auto sales business. Now, I'm talking 1970 to 73, when people were working for $100 a week and excited to have that job, and I would make $1,200 a day. In fact, I made so much money that the dealership started stealing money out of my commissions, thinking I wouldn't notice it. So I warned them, if this happens again, I'm going to walk. So I came to work one day, and I picked up my commission slip from the previous day, and I said, no. And they said, yeah, that's all it was. We had to, that trade-in you took, we had to put a transmission in, do some repair, and so when we deducted that from the profit, that's all that was left. And I said, no, I took that car in. I sold it the same day to another person. There were no repairs done to it. In fact, to get the car out, I went to the wash rack and washed it myself because we didn't have a porter ready. There was not a dime spent on that car. And they showed all these expenses that they were trying to write off against the trade-in, and I walked off the floor. I left my demo that they provided me parked where it was, and I walked away. I had responsibility to my family, and I heard of a job opening, and I went there, and it paid $90 a week. And the person said, how do you know you can do the job? And I said, because you need it done. He said, all right, we'll give you a try. I had a raise, a 25 cent an hour raise by the end of the week. The following week, I had another 25 cent an hour raise, and within a short time, I was managing the company. When they went to move that company, I opened my own company doing the same thing. Pastor, are you bragging? No, I'm saying, I don't have to have $1,200 a day to go to work. I can start at $90 a week and make $50,000. Not a year, a day. You can do something, but if you're waiting until, well, if someone would offer me a church that was running 300 or more, I would take a job as pastor. But I'd have to have as I stood behind the coffin yesterday, I had my remarks all written out, and I was standing behind the coffin, and the Lord said to me, "Look at the flower piece on the casket." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "That's life." I said, "What?" He said, "At one time or another, a seed was planted. A plant began to grow. When it came to fullness, it began to produce blossoms or fruit. And all the flowers laying on that casket are the fruit of that seed that started as nothing." Life should be the same way. The seed that was planted should produce a bouquet big enough and pretty enough for everybody to enjoy. Is there a bouquet in your life? Are you producing the fruit of who you are? If you're a carnation plant, you produce carnations. If you're a rose, you produce roses. If you're a Christian, you produce other Christians. Sheep begat sheep. You produce a testimony because somebody needs to see it working in your life so they can understand it'll work in their life. And the Lord said, "Too many of my people have never bloomed. They've never produced one flower. They were seed that was planted and they grew up, but they grew up unproductive." Church, I want God to be proud of you. That you're producing a testimony of what God has allowed you to do with your ability. Whether it's secular ability, spiritual ability, whatever realm God has called you to, be the best. God don't care if you're the janitor or the CEO. Are you producing something where you are? Can someone savor the aroma of what you produced? Or does it stinketh? So we begin with verse 14. We are talking about the kingdom of God and those who participate in it. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions unto them." He didn't entrust guitar picking or piano playing or singing. He entrusted his possessions to them. What did he possess? Wealth. The talent speaks of a weight of silver. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. To the one that he only gave 1 talent to, what did he expect out of him? That he could produce at least one. Or he wouldn't have given him the seed to work with. But he knew this guy hasn't got the ability to handle this much wealth, so I'll give him this much. But he has the ability to handle this much. "Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more talents. Church, you can do anything if you will. Lou and I went on a mission trip to Honduras a number of years ago. And when we got there, I went, "Why are you doing it this way?" "Well, this is all we got to work with." And they had brought canned goods to eat. And I said, "You know, why don't we have fresh bread?" "Well, we're in a foreign country." I said, "It ain't that foreign. There's bread someplace." By the end of the day, I'd located a bakery, and we had fresh bread every day. One day someone said something about, man, I'd love to have a cold Coke. And they said, we don't have Cokes or ice. And I said, I saw ships in the harbor. The next day we had cases of Cokes and ice chests full of ice because I went down and negotiated with the ships, because every ship has its own ice maker, and I know they're carrying soft drinks. What is it you want? So for the rest of the week, the mission trip, we had fresh bread every meal. We had Cokes. We had ice. We set up the operating room, and they said, it's hard to operate dripping sweat. I said, why don't we have fans? They said, we're in Honduras. We're not in America. By the end of the day, every operating room had a fan in it. Why? Because I know fans have got to have gotten to Honduras somehow. Are you listening, church? Someone said, man, I could really use some ice cream. And they said, we're on a missions trip. We're not in America. I know there's not a place in the world where ice cream hasn't gotten to. It took me a little while, but by the end of the day, we had ice cream, and we had ice cream every day. Oh, that strawberry was so good. It wasn't Bluebell, but it was good. I could be dropped anywhere in the world, and before long, I would have the life I had here. Pastor, that's not possible. I've got five talent ability. I will put it to work. But if you only have one talent ability and just put it on the shelf, you'll do without everything. But whatever level of ability you have, you can rise above it. But the devil cheats a lot of people. Well, I can't work for less than $34 an hour. Church, if it's a job, start there. You can work your way up and you can build something out of it. I've started sweeping the floors at a place and ended up owning it in 3 years. Pastor, you can't do that. If you apply yourself, you can. But if the devil can trick you in this small thing, I'm limited to my paycheck, then he can keep you from serving God, serving your family, and serving others. It doesn't matter what the pay is. You can make it what you want it to be. Just never agree to work for that. I tell people the biggest mistake they make is taking a job and agreeing to the salary. Now, don't disagree with the salary, but whatever they tell you, we're paying $5 an hour. You say, that's a good place to start, but I want you to know I'm not going to stay there. Because once you agree, all right, I'll take the job and I agree to work for $5 an hour. Now you go to God and say, God, I need a raise. God says, I can't help you break your word. You agreed with that man that you would work for $5 an hour. Now you come to me and want to break your word? I don't care if they offered me $100,000 a week. Well, Pastor, you're just being stupid now. No, I've worked for jobs where I made $1,000 an hour. I used to do contracts for the Navy, and they paid me $200 an hour when most people were making $750, $800 an hour. You can get it if you make yourself valuable. But if you show up late for work, want to leave early, and take long breaks and lunches, you'll never get there. You got to be producing more than anybody else in your area to get there. But if you produce, you can get there. That's on a secular job, and that's in the kingdom of God. But too many people are sitting back waiting for someone to hand them something. Well, I'm waiting for them to to give me a church and then I'll start a ministry. You may never find anybody that'll give you a church because if it's that valuable, they're not giving it away. Well, I'm waiting for someone to give me a job that pays, you know, $35 an hour to start, and I'll be making $50 an hour by the end of the month. No. You got to make a place for yourself in this world, and you got to make a place for yourself in the kingdom. Someone came to an acquaintance of mine a few years ago, and they said, "You are the luckiest man I know." And he said, "You know, I've found out the harder I work, the luckier I get." I sit at my brother's graveside and realized his whole life he was waiting for someone to give him a position befitting what he thought of himself. What he didn't realize, they were. Immediately. Verse 16. Immediately. The one who had received the 5 talents went to work trading them. And in a short period of time, he doubled his master's money. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents, in time he gained 2 more. He doubled his master's money. But the one who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. For every one of us, there's going to be a day when our accounts are settled. I don't want you to come up missing an opportunity to have succeeded. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Not because they hit the super jackpot in their lottery or during a trip to Vegas they drop a silver dollar in the machine and make $4 million. No, because they put to work what they got. You got something, work it. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted the 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to promote you and put you in charge of many things. You have shown that you'll work what you've got, that you can be productive. Now I'm going to give you more." Well, Pastor, I'd like to stand up and prophesy. Are you willing to be at church early and stay late, shake hands and pick up the scraps on the floor? Well, no, I want to be seen. If you ain't working what you can do, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. And you will get promoted. God will lift you up. But you can do something with what you've got. Even if it's just pulling the weeds in the parking lot, mowing the grass, mopping the floors, if you're faithful at it, God will promote you. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about your normal life. His master said to him who had received the 2, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." What is he saying there? I want to share with you what I got because you're productive. The more productive you become, the more people want to hang around you. The more you achieve, more people want to get near you, and Judith and Casey will rub off on them. But be careful. Lazy rubs off too. And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter, or where you scattered no seed. I want you to stop right here. When I got to this point, as the Lord was dealing with me about what I'm going to share with you, he took me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He that would come to God must believe that God is a rewarder. I want you to stop for a moment. And I want you to get past the hyperbole and the... Sometimes in church work, we develop the church vocabulary. Asia, it's hard to talk to people with church vocabulary. Yes, glory be to Jesus. Praise his holy name. Are you a believer? Yes, I'm a blood washed. I want to know what you did with your believer. Don't tell me I'm a blood washed saint of the Most High God. Of course I'm a believer. My God said to me, believe for a new car. I did, and I got it. God said, believe for a new house. I did, and I got it. How do you see God? If you're going to come to God, you must get on a God level and believe that he is God. Jehovah, Lord of hosts, creator of all that is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God, I want your will. I want your plan. I want your purpose. I want to know you. And I want to show you. A lot of people are willing to go with the first half. I want to know you. But they're a little short on the second half. I want to show you. I want people to see you living in me. I want people to see. Here's my flowers that this plant has produced. I was afraid, and I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Here's it back. But because of my opinion of you, I didn't produce. Pastor, what's the point of today's message? Well, today's message is like Wednesday night. If you weren't here Wednesday night, go to the website, pull up Wednesday night's sermon. It is a marvelous message. Yes. Whoever that guy was teaching Wednesday night, it was good. Amen. It was powerful. Amen. It was not life-changing, but it was life-shaping. Yes. You should have been here. That guy was on. No, he just heard from Daddy and brought what Daddy said. Why was this man unproductive? The same reason a lot of Christians are unproductive. They don't have a proper view of God. God created the earth and all that is therein and the universe, the stars, the moon, everything like Sister Tina was singing about earlier. He created all that when there wasn't anybody. Why did he create it? So when he made man, they would already have an environment suitable. Man didn't have to hold his breath while God said, oh, let me create air, and you're going to need rest, so I'll create daytime and nighttime, and you're going to need something to eat. I better, no. The food was there. The ground was there. The cycle of production was there. The cycle of seasons. And Pastor, what are you saying? God doesn't set you in hard times and then work to get you out of them. He sets you in the midst of productivity. I look at a country like Zimbabwe. It's had a lot of names, but at present it's Zimbabwe. Mubarak thinks so much of himself that he will keep the entire country in poverty so he can be above them. But Zimbabwe has more platinum, gold, emeralds, jewels, diamonds than any country on the face of the earth. Yet its currency is worth about a sneeze. Now on $500 trillion worth of Zimbabwe currency, because I know that it's about to change. China and Russia began making contracts with them to buy platinum and gold. Other countries are making contracts with them to mine precious stones and jewels. And I know that there's going to be a change. Yes. And when the change comes, I want to be ready to reap the profit. So I'll keep $500 trillion of their currency in my safe, because pretty soon it's going to make me very rich. Why? That potential can't be held down forever. There's one man standing between that nation being the richest country on the face of the earth and the people not able to buy food today. Say this to yourself: there's nobody going to stand between me and the abundance God wants me to have. But it begins with applying the talent God gave you. But he only gave me one. But if you'll work that one, he'll share his abundance with you. But Pastor, he gave me five and I just can't handle that much. Yes, you can, because he gives you according to your ability. You got something you can work. A number of years ago, I had a person in this town tell me, said, I'm trapped between a rock and a hard place. I need to do this, and I don't have the funds for it. And I said, what have you got? And so I met him, and I said, let's just inventory what you got. I said, what's that pile of bricks over there? And he said, oh, when they tore down Fort Custer at 19th and I-35, I bought the bricks, and that's what they are. And I said, why don't you sell them? Well, who'd buy them? So I made a deal with somebody, and we sold all of those bricks for a very good price. I said, what's all of this? And he said, well, when I bought this farm, it had all these tractors and plows and stuff, but I don't work the farm, so I don't know. So I went to an implement company, and I sold the tractors and the plows and the tillers and all the equipment. What's this? That's an antique pool table, hand-carved legs, and just something I set back. I said, do you know what it's worth? Well, I don't know. It was worth a lot. It was over 100 years old, and I found an antique dealer. Before, just going through what they had on their land, they were able to buy a 5-bedroom house. You see, he had talents, but they weren't being worked. A number of years ago, a lady who had written a lot of songs that we sang, by his word, Janie called Ken Copeland. She said, I don't have anything to give. How can I give if I'm so broke I don't have anything to give? Kenneth Copeland said, you've got something to give. Look through your house. So as she went through her house, and the first closet she opened up, she found all of this Avon products in there, where she had once been an Avon salesperson. And if you've ever been an Avon salesperson, you got a closet full somewhere. So she began to give away the perfume and the soap and the face cream and all these Avon products. She began to give them away. Within a short period of time, they were stranded because they didn't have a car that they could, if they got a place to go sing, they didn't have a car that would get them there, and someone gave them a red Cadillac Coupe de Ville. Because give, but you can sit there saying all day long, I don't have something to give. So after she saw the success she had giving away Avon, she started going through every closet. Give out of what you've got. You've got strength, work it. You've got mental ability, work it. You've got a voice, sing it. Work what you got, church, so God can trust you with more. Because in every one of these instances, the way they got more was working what they had. Do you see God as a rewarder? Do you see him as God? Guy, you ain't like me. You don't have my temperament. You don't have my natural apprehension. You think you can do anything. And so you do everything. And you're my daddy. That means you've put within me the ability to do things, to be things, to have things. But some people pass from this life. How sad is it to live 55 years and die living in your mother's back room with $400 in the bank? His whole life he promised his son he was going to do things for him. He had one child. The kids never had a car. As of last week, I handed him the keys. He's got a car. He's got money. I said, now, do something. Become somebody. It's in you. Well, why'd you do that? Because my brother left promises unfulfilled. So I gave his son a car and put money in his pocket and told him, if there's anything your dad had, take it that you want. What would have happened years ago if he'd have gotten the car that he was promised? Some money to start out with, something to do. I believe in planting seeds. I believe in touching lives. I believe in doing something with what I've got. And there have been times that I only had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to share. But I'll never be there again because I shared it. There were times that I couldn't put gas in somebody's car, but I gave them the change I had so they could put it with whatever else they could get. And now I've given away 23 cars, two houses. Because if you'll work what you got, God will see to it you got more. Well, Pastor, I'd like to have a church. Are you willing to start a Sunday afternoon Bible study and let it build? A Friday night Bible study? Are you willing to do something with what you got where you are? Well, I don't have anything. Do you have a computer? Then you can put together an online program and start sharing the knowledge you have. Well, how do I know anybody who's listening? If you put it out there, somebody will find you. But if you ain't working what you got and you're waiting for someday when the stage is set for you to walk onto, well, I'll tell you, I'll sit home before I work for $12 an hour. If I wasn't pastoring today and I needed a job, I'd take $12 an hour and I'd own the company in a few short periods. Work what you got, church. Do what you can do with what you got. You've got something to give, something to sow, something to inspire others with. You've got something that you can formulate where you are. But if you are not one who believes that God is a rewarder, you won't start with a seed. You want a whole truckload before you start. But you see, the truckload is in the seed. God said one day, the abundance you need is in the seed you haven't planted. The abundance you need is in the seed you haven't planted. The fact that you need it is a reflection of the fact you didn't plant the seed. Because every seed produces. And if nothing is being produced in your life, then you have drawn a line around what you're willing to do, and God can't get in there. Because God deals in the limitless, not the limited. God, I'm going to trust you with this much of my life. And God says, no, you're not. It's all or nothing. And so because this man saw his employer or his boss one way, he was unable to enjoy the benefits of the reward his boss would have given. Because the two who worked it got to be promoted into abundance. The one who didn't work it but was waiting so he didn't lose it. I want to ask you something. Have you buried your talent someplace deep within yourself? And you're holding on to it because you're afraid of losing it or wasting it? Or of somebody rejecting you or hurting your feelings or saying something you don't like? Are you willing to plant every seed you've got mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, and expect God to reward you? I expect my God to reward me. When we were on Runberg Lane, there was a young man who had gotten out of incarceration and started coming to the church. One day I shared the testimony of how everywhere I go, I expect to find something. And if I find a penny, I'll bend over and pick that penny up. And sometimes I've been over and picked up $60 and $20 and $5 and $10. And one day I'm at Fry's. I'm at Fry's Electric with someone, and we're walking out of Fry's, and they're telling me that they don't even have lunch money. And I said, that's because you don't want it. And they looked at me like, what? And I said, you just stepped over a $10 bill. I reached down and picked it up and put it in my pocket. And another time I was walking into Walmart with my little brother, and he was telling me how he wished he had a couple of dollars because there's a few things he'd like to buy in Wally World. And I said, you don't want money? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, you just stepped over a 5 and a 1, and I reached down to pick it up, and he grabbed it. And I said, keep it. But I said, there's wealth laying around all the time. I see a broken earring, a broken necklace, a broken bracelet, something laying in the parking lot. I pick it up, and I toss it in the box, and after a while, I've got 40, 50 grams of gold, and I'll take it down and have it melted into a nice ring. And I've got a box full of jewelry that I've had made out of broken earring, broken bracelet, that I'd find laying around. Well, I don't have time to pick it up. My Bible says here a little, there a little, And pretty soon I got 50 grams of gold to make a ring. Now, I know most people don't make them that heavy, but I like them big and thick. And, you know, if you ain't got at least 50 grams, don't even start melting it down. But I went from no gold at all to pounds of gold. And don't think you get in my safe. You can find your own. And I was telling that story, and this young man who was living in someone else's house got up one morning and he started thinking about that, and he said, I'm going to do that. So Saturday morning he walked over to a shopping center and walked around for a while and saw a dime. And he picked up the dime and he said, well, that's 10 cents. Maybe I can find more. And as he walked around towards the edge of the parking lot, blown up against the curb, he found a $100 bill. He came right to church and he returned the tithe on the $100. The only problem was he got high with the rest of it, and we never saw him again. The Lord giveth, and I smoketh. But you see, he took a story and he applied it. Because if you won't reject small beginnings. But I want you to notice he didn't take the dime and go back to his apartment and say, well, I found a dime. It's more than I had. He kept looking. Now, your story doesn't have to end on getting high with the 90 bucks you got. But he did honor God with the tithe. And I guess he did enjoy that high. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. One toke over the... No. Church, take inventory of what you got mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, and ask yourself, am I working it? Am I willing to take what I've got in inventory and put it to work so I can have more? Because if I know my God, and I know my God, if I'll work what I got, he'll give me more as a reward for what I worked. There's not a person in this building that couldn't be very wealthy within 5 years if you would work the things God's put in you. But if you're waiting for the jackpot, the bonanza, the windfall, the big stage to step onto, the big position, the big salary, if you can't apply yourself at minimum wage, I worked for Sparky Burgers when I was in college. I'd go to college in the daytime, work the night shift at Sparky Burgers. Why? I wasn't content to be one of the guys in the dorm going, has anybody got a car that'll give me a ride? I wanted to have a car. So I had a Chevy convertible sitting in the parking lot. And I always had gas. When I was in the Army, I would work from 7 in the morning until 5 every day. When I got off, I went into town and I worked for the Tacoma Food Service Corporation as an assistant manager at McDonald's. That's why I had a Sport Fury, a Tornado, a Chevy, and a Mercury. I had more cars than most of the guys in my barracks could think about. Because the Army was mandatory, and they don't pay you enough to drive a car. They don't pay you enough to buy cigarettes and food. So I worked. And I didn't say, oh, I won't work at McDonald's. There were guys in the barracks that said, I'd never work there. That's why you're begging for cigarettes. I went to work manning the front window and was the assistant manager within a short period of time. And could have gone up into management and had my own store. But I had to go to Vietnam. Church, Is your dignity so much that you can't start at the bottom and work up? I've worked as a janitor. I've handled a grill at a fast food restaurant, worked at McDonald's and Sparky Burger, and yeah, I know what it's like when the guys from the college come down and you're working at Sparky Burger and you get that silly hat on. Because at Sparky Burger, we all had to wear those little paper hats. And the guys from the school are there and they're making jokes about you and your silly hat. But when they needed a ride, my hat wasn't that funny. What's the message today? You've got talents, gifts, abilities that God has placed at your disposal. Are you working it? Are you waiting for the big opportunity, the big time? Are you willing to take what's given to you, put it to work, and have a track record of success so you can be trusted with more? Daddy God, we've sowed the seed you gave us to sow. I decree it's gone into hungry hearts and is fertilizing minds. And that the people under the sound of my voice do more than they've ever done before. Accomplish more. Achieve more. Rise above. Father, I praise you that our people have jobs when no one else has jobs. Raises when no one else has raises. Bonuses when no one else has bonuses. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. And I will decree it until the full manifestation comes. Because I praise you, our people abound and prosper. And everything they set their hand to prospers because you bless them in every area in which they are engaged. And the people said,
Amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God.